tonight. I know you enjoyed it, and I'm glad tonight that there is a plan. It's God's plan. It's the greatest plan that, well, heaven could not afford a better plan than God's plan, and I'm glad for that great plan. We're saved by grace. We're not saved by grace plus baptism. We're saved by grace through faith, plus nothing, minus nothing. And somebody said, you can't know you're saved. They waited too late to tell me that, because I know that I'm saved. There are a lot of things I don't know, but I know that I'm saved. And it is good, and I appreciate the blessings of the Lord. Let me make a couple announcements, and we'll get right into the message tonight. Tomorrow night, the Lord willing, I want to speak to you. And tomorrow night's Friday night, and we should have an overflowing church. People, I want to bring a message tomorrow night that I preached all over America. I mean, there's very few places that I've ever conducted a revival I haven't preached on this sermon. God gave it to me over 20 years ago. It's the only sermon that I keep any record of at all. I've been preaching for 27 years, every night, 50 weeks out of the year. I mean, I've been in evangelistic work that long, and then I was pastoring before. Somebody said, don't you get tired? I'm just like a punch-drunk fighter. You can ring a bell, and I'll jump up and grab a Bible and go to preaching. Amen? I mean, it's easy, see? I mean, you just preach all the time, but let me say this. I preach this sermon all over the country, and God has honored it. And we have 239 preachers that have answered the call under this sermon, Brother Tommy, and we'll preach tomorrow night. If God sets your barley fields on fire. Now, everybody has a barley field. There's not a person, I don't care how rich you are, I do not care how poor you may be. If you're here tonight, and you are here, then you've got a barley field. I don't know what it is. But if God ever sets that barley field on fire, my friend, it'll burn to the ground. I want you to be here to hear the message tomorrow night. Then the Lord willing, Saturday night, and I've been praying and trying to get God's mind on this, I want to preach on strange voices being heard in our time. You've never in your life heard so many strange voices. But the Lord said you'd know His voice. Amen? My sheep, you'll know Him. That's God, I know when the Lord's talking, but the devil can sound pretty good sometime. Now, you better be sure. He'll whisper in your ear, and I'm going to preach, Lord willing, Saturday night on strange voices being heard in our time. Now, this new charismatic movement is a strange voice that's being heard in our time. And folks, you better get rooted and grounded in the Word of God, or they'll come along and make you think you haven't got enough. Somebody asked me one time, said, you got the Holy Ghost? I said, no, He's got me. Amen? Amen. Praise God. That's why we only let the Holy Ghost have us.
That's right.
Amen. But I hope you'll be here and hear the message on strange voices in our time. And then Sunday morning, we're going to look for a great time. Sunday afternoon, I'm going to tell you about a new ministry that God's given me. Now, everything that I've ever done on the radio, God gave it to me. I was riding along one night several years ago, and I stuck up my hand. And I said, Lord, I'm glad you can see that hand. Praise God. Next day, I went to the microphone. I said, if you got a request to prayer, stick up your hand. I can't see it, but God can. Hallelujah. I've been using it ever since. I mean, God showed it to me. Amen. Amen. How many of you lifted your hand sometime on the radio when I asked you to hold it? Let's see how many of you. All right. Good. That's wonderful. Well, God gave me something new. I'll tell you about it Sunday afternoon. And I tell you, when God gives you something, I mean, when you know it's the Lord, you don't have to worry about it. Praise God. Now, a lot of times, you know, Mays has done things, and boy, I got the biggest mess I've ever gotten in. Quit saying amen, Doc. My wife back there, amen, amen. All right. Amen. I tell you, sorry. But that your wife knows, you see. A lot of times, somebody said, you ever, that lady said to me one night, said, Brother Mays, do you preach everything God tells you to? I said, yes, ma'am, and a lot of things God don't tell me to. Amen. Now, you might as well be honest. Amen? Be honest tonight. I'm not going to... I told you this other night. I've got to tell it real quickly. But Brother Tommy brought Bobby. When Bobby's just a little bitty boy, hear me preach, and I saw him in the back of Cherokee Avenue downstairs. And Brother Bobby, Brother Tommy, he'd cry. I remember one time he used to meet with me, and he sat back there, and he started crying. Don't let me break it up. I said, Wes, God, if that'll break it up, let her break. Say amen. That's God, if old time Holy Ghost laughing and crying will break it up, she needs to break up. Amen. I tell you, somebody said, well, what about shouting? Well, it don't bother me, praise God. If you're living like you shout, help yourself. I like that shout myself. Bless God, I've been a-praising God, and I'm going to still come praise the Lord. I believe we ought to. But anyway, Brother Tommy's back, and I went back there, and Bobby gave me an offering of the broadcast, and Brother Tommy was a-crying. He said, Brother May, he said, Bobby loves you. And I said, I appreciate that. He said, live right, Brother Mays. He loves you. And I said, well, I'll try to live right. And then he said, you know, we want to come hear you preach. And little Bobby looked up and said, Daddy, you said you was too tired. I was the one that wanted to come hear Brother Mays tonight. Amen. You remember that, Tommy? Amen. I remember that. God bless you. Tommy, that's all I'm going to say about you. I'm not going to hurt you anymore tonight. Everybody picks on poor old Tommy. Amen. But you got to have somebody to pick on. Amen. Usually the preacher picks on his wife all the time. But quit saying amen, Jimmy. Sure, her eyes got as big as quarters back there when I said that. But anyway, Sunday afternoon, I do want to bring you a message on the new war on Jesus Christ. Now, let me say just one thing. GMC and NBC has declared war on the Son of God. And somebody said, Brother Mays, what is the greatest question that a man's ever asked? Jesus asked them at Caesarea Philippi. And he said, whom do ye say I, the Son of Man, am? You'd bet he'd on that question. Brother, you better know who he is. He's not a cool cat. He's not a hippie Jesus. He's the Son of the living God, the first and the last. He's the only begotten of the Father. I'm glad he's the beginning and the end, everything in between. Say amen right there. Now, you need to come. I'm going to tell you how they're declaring war, the new war, on Jesus Christ. Do you love him? Do you love the Lord tonight? You be here Sunday afternoon. And I'll tell you how they're declaring war on the Son of God. But ever since that day, Jesus said back there, Moses wrote it down, Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman. The devil has been at war with Jesus Christ. Tried to keep him, tried to break the line, and tried to keep him from the cross. But I'm glad the devil missed right there, aren't you? Glory to God. Jesus coming one of these days, whether you believe it or whether you don't, he's coming back. Praise God, I feel a little tug already tonight. Amen. And we can believe it. And I praise God for that tonight. I want to make an announcement to close of the service tonight about a preacher's meeting for over here for Brother Chatham. But I want you to take your Bible real quickly tonight and turn to me. I want to read two portions of the Word of God tonight. We'll stand for the reading of the Word in just a moment. And then I'll bring you a message tonight. In Daniel chapter 5, I want you to turn. You remember what I said I'd be speaking on tonight? If you were with us last evening, I announced I'd preach tonight on the subject, one of the big mistakes of this generation. One of the great mistakes of this generation. And this generation's made a lot of mistakes. I mean a lot of mistakes. But all generations have made mistakes. Somebody said, well, Brother Mays, did anybody ever live not make mistakes? No, just one. And his name was Jesus. Glory to God. He never took a wrong step. He never spoke a wrong word. Hallelujah. He never had a wrong thought. Everything that Jesus never had to feel sorry for what he did. He never had to regret anything that he did. Everything the Son of God did, it was right. He didn't do anything wrong. And I'm glad for that tonight. But I want you to see something in Daniel chapter 5. And then I'm going to turn over to Haggai. And by the way, that's three books from the book of Matthew or the New Testament. It's easy to find. I'm not trying to be smart. But a lot of times it's hard to find in the Bible certain books. But I want you to turn. It's the third book over here, Zechariah and then Malachi. Of course, you don't like to get Malachi right there. Oh, that stirs people. Oh, that really gets on people. Get Malachi. Talk about tithing. That kills the spirit with something. Amen. But turn with me, please, to Daniel and then Haggai. And I'm going to read just a few verses of Scripture. Would you please stand with me all over the house? Let's read the Word of God tonight. Daniel chapter 5, then Haggai chapter 1. If you'll hold your finger there in Haggai, we'll read Daniel chapter 5. Five verses of Scripture. And then I'll bring you, we'll read over it in Haggai, then we'll bring the message. The Bible said, Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Now let me stop long and say this. I don't care who drinks it, whether he lives in the White House or the poor house, it's wrong to drink any kind of wine. Amen. Say amen right there. Amen. Amen. Well, we'll read on. Somebody backslid on that. All right. Verse 2 said, Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, his concubines might drink therein. Then they that brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine, they praised the gods of gold, of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and stone. In the same hour came forth the fingers. Now notice it's in about a hand. I've heard preach said a hand. Oh, it was in about a hand. It said the fingers of a man's hand, and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Now, I want you to turn, if you will, over to Haggai, and I want to read, beginning with verse 3, and read down through verse 7 of Haggai chapter 1. Haggai chapter 1. If you have a Scofield Bible, it's 962 on the page. And Scofield's a good Bible. Say amen right there. That puts some folks to value, but I like it. Amen? Amen. I like the King James Version anyway. Praise God. That's the one I use. That's the only one I believe. I believe the King James Version. Somebody said, oh, I believe in the Living Bible. This is the most live Bible you'll ever hold right here. Praise God. That's right. You talk about something's alive. This one's alive, all right? I want you to notice in Haggai chapter 1, verse 3, said, then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, it is time for you, O ye that dwell in your sealed houses. Now, those houses were very expensive. God had blessed them. And they have done something when they got in these houses, seal houses, and this house lie waste. Now, he was talking about his house. He said, you got your fancy house, and you let the house of the Lord lie waste. Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put in a bag with holes. Said you work all week and go up there and get your salary, and they put it in a bag, and as you go home, the holes in that bag drop out all the coins that you worked for all week. Now here's verse 7. He repeats what he said in verse 5. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. I want you to notice in 4 or 5 verses here, he stops and says, consider your ways. I want you to be seated all over the house, if you will, at this time. And in just a moment, I want you to bow your head, every head bowed, every eye closed, all of the house, and I'm going to pray in just a few seconds. But before I pray, and before I ask God to touch the preaching of the Word of God tonight, I want you to pray. Oh, pray that God's Spirit shall move, and that conviction will deepen, and that men will see their need of God tonight. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for every song that's been sung. We thank you, our Father, tonight for the good Spirit of the Lord. I'm glad that we feel your presence. And if we did not feel the great presence of God Almighty, Lord, this service would be in vain. But I'm glad when you're here, and when you're in our midst, Lord, and when you speak, and when you move, I'm glad then God is glorified. I thank you for this church and Brother Allen, and I pray our Father that old Concord may be blessed in these days to come. And I pray our Father you'll bless our dear brother. I thank you for his ministry, and how it's been such a challenge up and down this country. I thank you, Lord, how you've used him in a mighty way. Then I thank you for these other preachers, our Father, every one that's come tonight. Oh, God, bless the men of God. Then bless every mother, every dad, every son, and every daughter. Now, our Father, tonight, have thine own way, and we'll praise you because we ask it. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Beloved, tonight, for a few minutes, I want to speak to you on the subject, the great mistake of this generation, or one of the great mistakes. Now, if I tried to catalog, if I tried to mention all the mistakes of this generation, I tell you, you couldn't enumerate them. You couldn't name them. There are so many. But Belshazzar made one of these mistakes. He failed to consider. And then Haggai said to his people, after God had gone
brought them out of Babylonian captivity after God had set them free. Hagar said, wait a minute. When you moved in your seal houses and when God blessed you, then you got to the place you didn't consider him. Isn't it just like people, brother, when God blesses them, they get to the place where they forget their bread. They get to the place where they forget what God's done. I want to tell you, I never want to get to the place that I forget where God found me and where God brought me. I want you to know every time I get up in the pulpit, I'm conscious of the fact that it's God Almighty that found me. It's God that called me. It's God who's clothed me. It's God who's blessed me. And I never want to get to that place that I fail to consider the Lord. I'm afraid that America needs to stop and consider God and consider her ways. Belshazzar was a classic example. And if you've got your pencil tonight, I want to show you how the six times are six different things that Belshazzar failed to consider. The first thing that he failed to consider the scales of God. My Bible said, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. I don't care who you are, what your name may be, you're going to be weighed in God's balances. And I want to ask you, how much do you weigh? Can you say tonight, Brother Mays, I weigh enough? You either weigh enough or you'll die and go to hell. Nobody's going to heaven that doesn't balance the scales of God. And you say, well, I've never thought about it. You mean God's going to put me in the scales? Yes, sirree. Every person in this house will be weighed in God Almighty's scales. There's not a woman, there's not a man, there's not a boy, there's not a girl, but what one day God will place you in his scales. And you'll be weighed as Belshazzar. But Belshazzar, he didn't think about it. He was king. He was handsome and haughty and high-spirited. He's born with a silver spoon in his mouth. He said, I'm the king. And he didn't consider that one day God Almighty would weigh him in the scales of God. But that night, brother, God weighed him. And I want to show you something that God showed me. Now, as a little boy, there used to be a Raleigh man. Used to come up to our house and he'd ring a little bell. My mother would go out and the Raleigh man would sell all kinds of, all peanut butter. And then he had an old pair of scales in that little truck. And when he'd come up, he'd say, Miss Jackson, how much liver pudding would you like today? Now, some of you act like you never eaten any liver pudding. I want to tell you that some of the best mountain eating you've ever had is some good old liver pudding. But you know what he'd do? My mother said, I'll take 2 pounds. He'd take and put those scales up there. And then over on this side, he'd put a 2-pound weight. And then he'd take that goblet, reach down in that red big old container and start pulling out that liver pudding. And when he got it to where it balanced, you know what he'd have? He'd have 2 pounds of the best liver pudding you ever saw in your life. Now some of you look a little strange, like, well, up in the mountains we did strange things. We had strange habits. I remember when I was a little boy, I used to play, I'd get me a wheel and I'd get me a wire. Bless God. And I'd just run around that wire and that wheel. Now they've got to have an 88 Oldsmobile. They can't have any fun. When I was a kid, you know what we used to do, brother? For a big time, I'd get down and say, Doodlebug, Doodlebug, your house is on fire. And I'd call those doodlebugs, and as long as you doodle them, they'd come up. But if you quit doodling, they'd backslide and go back in the hole, just like Baptists are tonight. Some of you got to doodle them all the time. Our brother, they'll not come to church. The preacher has to spend half of the week doodling a bunch of old backslidden members, getting them to come to the house of God. Isn't that pitiful that a preacher has got to spend his time running around putting sugar tit in the mouth and saying, now you come on back. Let me tell you, my friend, listen, it's God's business and God's man's business that man of God preached the word of God and studied the word of God and stay in the word of God. But I want to show you, when those scales scales balanced. That mother had 2 pounds of liver pudding. 37 years ago, I was in a room down in his college. God said, get up, no scales means I'm going to weigh you. And over here he had the law of God and the holiness of God and the justice of God. Now I got up in the scales. Now I was a Baptist. I was doing the best I could. But you know, I couldn't get the scales to come down. And the scales wouldn't balance. And God said, you're going to hell if the scales don't balance. And you say, preacher, how'd you get them to balance? The same way you get them to balance, if they're ever going to balance. I heard a knock at my door. I went to the door and I said, who is it? He said, my name's Jesus. And if you've got room for me to get up in the scales, he said, I'll tell you, we'll see what will happen. Oh, he said, Brother Mays, by faith I received in my heart. And I got back up in the scales. And for the first time in my life, I felt him go up. And I heard heaven shout, justified. And the scales of God have been balanced. Oh, you say, Brother Mays, who made the difference? The Lord Jesus Christ. He made the difference. He balanced the scales. But here's Belshazzar. Brother, he failed to consider the scales of God Almighty. Number two, he failed to consider the sting of sin. I want you to know sin has a sting to it. At last it biteth like a serpent. And it stingeth like an adder. Of course, it's talking about booze, but you can liken it to sin. The Bible said in the days of Moses, they complained against God's men. And the word of God said, God sent fiery serpents out. And those serpents bit some people. And they started swelling up. They had the bite of the serpent. And tonight sin has a bite to it. And sin has poison to it. And sin will destroy you. And sin will destroy your home. They were all swollen up. And then I tell you what, old Moses stood between the living and the dead. I'm glad God's given us some preachers that stand between the living and the dead. Aren't you glad some old preacher stood up between you and hell and preached the grace of the Lord Jesus and preached that you could be saved by the blood of the Lamb? And that old Moses said, God, what can I do? And he said, take a piece of brass and make it in the form of a serpent, hang it in the midst of the camp on a pole. And I'm glad that night Jesus met Dr. Nicodemus out on the Jerusalem, when he was trying to explain the new birth to him, he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. You know why? Because we're all snake bitten. Because the Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's only one cure. You can get a little church membership saved. That won't take the poison out. You can go out here when your arm is swollen and your legs swollen, you can get baptized. You know, I like some people call it baptized. But you know, you can get baptized or whatever you say, and that won't do you any good. You say, what happened? Let me show you what happened. I see old Moses tack that brazen serpent up in the midst of that camp. Remember, whether it's in type or in foreshadow or Jesus Christ in person, wherever you find Jesus, he's always in the midst. Glory to God. From the beginning of the he's the middle man. From the beginning to the end, he's always in the midst. John the Revelator said, I saw a great multitude. And in the midst was a lamb, as he was slain before the foundation of the world. A lamb, my friend, listen to me. Jesus has always been in the midst. And so he tacked it up there. And I seemed to go up, they go over and say, hey lady, would you look? And she had a swollen arm. And she said, no, I'm snake bitten. Well, it doesn't mean no good to look. I don't believe that looking would do any good. He said, all right, just die. He goes to the next tent and he said, hey, mister, would you look? He said, my leg's swollen. Oh, I don't believe it'd do any good to look. I believe he went to the third tent and said to an old brother, said, hey, looky, you're swollen. You're dying. Would you like to live? He said, I sure would. I've been bitten by the sting of the serpent. I'd like to live. He said, come out here in the midst of the camp on the pole. It's God's remedy. I'm glad that old man dragged himself out. I see him, he drags himself out of that tent and he looks over that brazen serpent, and God heals him. He begins to take that foot and he begins to jump up and down, and he said, hallelujah, I've seen the one that cured the snake bite. I've seen the one. Praise God. I see a woman there, well, another woman with her arm all swollen. And she said, I'd love to look. I've tried everything else. And I'm getting worse every day. And the poison's killing me. I'll do anything. Let me say, when you get to that place where you don't know where to turn, you've tried everything else. If you'll try Jesus, praise God, you can be whole. Now, here she comes out, holding that old swollen arm. And then all at once, she looks over, and when her eyes falls on that brazen serpent, she throws up that hand and begins to wave it and says, praise God, I'm cured! I found the cure to the bad of sin. Let me say to you tonight, my friend, Belshazzar did not consider the scales of God. He did not consider the sting of sin. He did not consider the next thing. The great sanctified vessels of God cannot be handled anyway. I tell you, if you preach the gospel, mister, you'd better live the gospel. If you sing in this church and handle the songbook, you'd better have clean hands and a pure heart. We got too many people taking the holy and sanctified vessels of God and holding those vessels with unclean hands. Oh, that's the reason it's so hard to get folks to church. Somebody'll tell you down here, I know so and so, and he takes up the offering, or he's a deacon, or he sings in the choir, and he lives like the devil. That's a shame on the church. When men handle the holy, sanctified vessels of God with unholy hands. Let me show you something, Hank. It's in 2 Chronicles 26, and the Bible said that Josiah came in, and he looked over and his 80 priests, and he said, boy, step aside. I'm going to offer incense, burn incense. And one of the priests said, wait a minute. Don't you know that only the sons of Aaron are to offer the burnt incense in the tabernacle? Here on the altar. He said, I'm the king. Step aside. But he had unholy hands, and he was going to handle the holy vessels of God, the sanctified vessels of God. And the Bible said, when he offered incense, that leprosy broke out on his brow. And if you read over a few more verses, it said, and he lived and died a leper. Leprosy is a type of sin. And he handled the holy vessels, sanctified vessels of God, and he died. But you know that God had a remedy for sin, a remedy for leprosy. Leprosy has no human cure. Sin has no human cure. Leprosy didn't either. But in the 14th chapter of the book of Leviticus, that old leper would come to the tabernacle. I don't believe he said a thing. I know you may believe he said something. I don't believe he had to say a word. I believe he just walked up there in front of the tabernacle, knocked on the tabernacle door. And when he knocked on the tabernacle door, a priest came, knew what he wanted. I believe all he did was hold up those old ragged clothes and that old body that's eaten away. And the priest said, just a minute, I'll go in and offer the bird, and I'll give you the sacrifice of the leper. I'll give the offering of the leper. You know what that priest did? He went inside the tabernacle, took two spotless birds. He took one little bird and cut its throat and drained the blood out of that little bird. And then he took that living bird, wrapped that living bird down in that blood, held its little wings, held its little feet, walked out there in front of that tabernacle and took his hands away from the wings, and that little bird fluttered that blood, and it fell on the leper. That old leper was cleansed. Then you know what he did with that bird? He walked out there and let that bird rise up. My daddy was a personal friend to J. Wilbur Chapman. Have you ever heard of J. Wilbur Chapman? About the little birds and the leper. And he said to my daddy, he said, Jack, the greatest night of my life was after I preached on the blood and after I preached on the two birds. He said, I went to my room and wrote this immortal hymn. It's in your book there. Listen what he wrote. He wrote, living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Right buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified. Freely forever. And someday he's coming. Oh, glorious day. I'm glad tonight, brother. What a blessed blessing that is. But he did not consider the sanctified vessels of God Almighty. Number four, he didn't consider the supernatural power of God. Mister, when you go to dealing with God, you're not dealing with man. When you go to dealing with God Almighty, he said power belongeth to God. And you remember this, that he has the power and the issue of life. And God has the power of death in his hand. And all power is given unto me, Jesus said, in heaven and in earth. You say, Brother Mays, I know the one that's got all power. Praise the Lord. In heaven and in earth. Several years ago, about 25 years ago or so, I went over to a little place called Danridge, Tennessee. And I told them, I said, I want to go to Oak Ridge. They said, they're making that big bomb there. That big bomb. Said, hey, you can't. I said, I want to see it. I went over there that next day and I pulled up at the gate and I said to the man, I'm a preacher, I'm a Baptist preacher, I want to go inside this bomb plant. He said, I'm sorry. If you don't have your name and a pass, you can't get in, preacher. He said, did you know we're making a bomb so big back there behind those walls that we can blow up a city of 250,000 people? He said, have you ever heard of such power? I said, yes, sir. I've heard of greater power than that. I've heard of the dynamite, of the TNT, of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, it can blow the devil out of a whole city. And praise God, it can change a home. The power of God, sir. There is no power like the power of God Almighty. I'm glad for that power. I always felt sorry for this man. You probably never did, but I've always felt his henpeck. That's one thing. Say amen right there. I can tell you fellas a henpeck. I'll keep on preaching. Amen. But you know what? His henpeck. But he said, now, Jesus, don't you know I got power to let you go? I got power to crucify you. You know what Jesus said to Pilate? He said, I want to remind you one thing, son. You'd have no power except my Father, which is in heaven, give you that power. Brother, I wouldn't have enough power to raise my foot if it wasn't for God. I wouldn't have enough power to breathe if it were not for God tonight. And the church can do nothing without God's power. We've had it, we've schemed this and we've tried this and we've tried everything on the sun. And the church, brother, is losing power day after day. And they're saying, what's wrong? Bless God, we're not looking to the power of God. I'm glad when the TNT of heaven and the power of the Holy Ghost moves. Brother, God has all power in heaven and in earth. And it's good to know that. Aren't you glad for the power? And I will forget several years ago, we was up at Greenville, South Carolina. I was in a meeting. 65 Baptist preachers went down to pray for the power. I mean, we went to a cow pasture down in Pelham, South Carolina. I never will forget that. We was out there praying, and there's a shouting and a crying to God. And somebody said, Mays, preach. I said, I can't preach out here. I said, did you know? I said, how can I preach? And I can't even see the Bible. Said, quote a verse and light out the preaching. So I just quoted a verse of Scripture, and I started preaching out there in the dark. Those Baptist preachers, 65, got to running, climbing trees, and it got as wild. I'm telling you, what's the truth? I've never been to the Indianapolis 500. I've never been to the Atlanta 500. But I've been to the Holy Ghost 500. And I want to tell you something, brother, that's good. Oh, you say, Brother Mays. But I was out there, and they were, I was preaching, and they was running by me, and I said, Lord, you called me, now protect me. They're going to kill me. They're going to trample me to death. We was just a-praising God and shouting, and I didn't know it, but we were next door to a lady that belonged to a big church. I mean, she's one of them high steeple kind. I mean, those kind, if you said, amen, everybody in church turned around craning their neck to see what was wrong with you. And she got excited when she heard all them preachers cutting up out there and climbing trees. And she went over to the phone and she made a mistake. She called the South Carolina Patrol. And she said, help! Help! And the man said, pardon me, ma'am. Where are you? She said, I'm down here in Pelham. Help! And she said, some Baptist preachers running wild. He said, are they in the highway? She said, no, they're in the cab, Pastor. He said, I can't give them a ticket till they get out in the highway. And then I'd do something with them. But, oh, let me tell you, that woman was excited. You know what that woman said? She said, send me some help down here. And a pacifier, you know, he said, all right, I'll send car 78 or something like that. And he came down there, and I'll tell you, I was just a preaching, having me a time. They was running wild. That highway patrolman pulled up out there on that secondary road by the cow pasture where we were. And I never will forget it. And he reached over and cut that spotlight on, shined over there on those preachers. When he did, Brother Sattler's hand went up. You know how big it is. That big old hand said, woo! You say, Brother Mace, what happened? That fella turned that light on and said, I mean, he got out of there. You said, why? Brother, he's afraid of the pie. Not only some Baptists, but brother, there's some highway patrolmen that are afraid of the pyre. I was over in Kingsport, Tennessee, preaching at a New Year's service 2 years ago. I had to leave there and run up to Bristol. Had to preach at 12 o'clock or about a quarter to 12. And when I got there, there's a highway patrolman preaching, old Bob Steele. I mean, he's preaching. I walked in and he looked at me and he'd heard me tell about that pyre. He said, bless God, this is one highway patrolman that's not afraid of the pyre. And he just kept on shouting and praising God. But beloved, listen, here's Belshazzar, and he failed to consider the supernatural power of God. You better remember that it's supernatural, and it's God's power. And then there's something else. He failed to consider, my friend, the scheme of the enemy. You remember the devil's a deceiver, and Satan is out to destroy you, and Satan's out to deceive you, and Satan's out, my friend, to mislead you, ever since he came to Eve, and said, oh, hath God said, God don't want you to be like him. And God's jealous. Brother, the devil's been working for 6,000 years, old man. And the enemy, brother, we'd better consider him. Because the enemy is out scheming. And the enemy is very smart when it comes to his tactics. You better trust in God to fight your battles. You better trust in the Holy Ghost to give you victory over the devil. Because there's no victory outside of Christ. He's the only one. I like to think of old David, brother. He went down there to the creek and picked him up 5 stones. Lady asked me up in Pennsylvania one time, said, what was the matter, Brother Mays? Was he afraid he'd miss and have to have another stone? I said, no, ma'am. He thought the giant had 4 brothers. He'd get all 4 of them. What is over there? Hallelujah. But he went over there and he walked out there and that giant said, who are you? And he said, I come to you in the name of the Lord. He put that stone in there and I believe he went around 3 times. You can believe as many times as you want to, but I believe that stone went around his head once for the Father, once for the Son, and once for the Holy Ghost, brother. And he let it go. He smoked that giant in the head. And old David came back singing victory in the Lord. You say, why? Because David knew that he was trusting in God. And with all the schemes of that giant. Read this in here. Brother Callbecker, I can tell you this is so. That giant had 6 fingers on his head. I mean, he had 6 fingers here. Type of the Antichrist. He had 6 toes. He's a type of the Antichrist. And old David said, boy, I'll fix you up. Hallelujah. He had a Holy Ghost rock in there. Hallelujah. And that rock smote him in the forehead. And the giant went down. Let me tell you something. The devil's out to deceive you. My wife and I talked to a couple today. Wonderful couple. Fine couple. We've loved through the years. And the devil has slipped them a counterfeit. And the devil is deceiving them. And they don't know where to turn. Oh, they didn't consider the scheme of the devil. The devil's out to scheme against you. And scheme against your children. And scheme against your church. And the devil has all kinds of schemes. And brother, don't you think he takes a vacation just because some of these Baptist churches take vacations and don't stand for God? I want to tell you the devil doesn't take any vacations. He's out to scheme and to wreck and destroy. The Bible said he came to destroy and to kill. And oh, you listen to me. He did scheme, and he has schemed. He schemed with Eve, and the Bible said she's deceived. Adam was not deceived. Paul said to Timothy, Adam wasn't deceived. He knew what he's doing. But he knew that he loved her, and he'd love her unto the end. I'm glad he took of that forbidden fruit. But the devil is filled with schemes. And the devil tonight is out scheming. Let me meet you in the last thing tonight. Belshazzar did not consider the swelling of the Jordan. Oh, in Jeremiah chapter 5, 12 and verse 5, brother old Belshazzar didn't know that that night, oh, he didn't know that that night the Medo Persian army would come up under the riverbed and to take a knife and stab him and that he'd go down to the River Jordan. My Bible said, what will you do in the swelling of the Jordan? Have you ever thought about how you want to die? Have you ever thought about what you're going to do when you stand yonder and death comes? I sat in the doctor's office today. He said, I held an old woman's hand. And he said, Brother Mays, I've never seen a person die like she died. Said she had the greatest peace of anybody I've ever seen. Did you know I believe this, brother? I believe God can give you a peace. Now the prayers is all understanding. I've seen old saints die clapping their hands and shouting. Somebody said, Brother Mace, how do you want to die? I want to jump out of the bed, sing one stanza, there'll be peace in the valley, and lick my tongue out the devil and lie down and die. Say amen right there. Bless God, I don't want to die like a lot of so-called Christians and moan and mope around. I want to say, Lord, I'm coming home. Praise God, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. There's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day. And not to me only, all those that love his appearing. Did you know it's wonderful tonight to know, my friend, that when the swelling of the Jordan comes, you won't have to be afraid. Years ago, I had a Mercury automobile. And my wife's back there, we had one little boy. And he's the wiggliest little guy you ever saw. He's like all preacher's hymns. Wiggle, 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 wiggle. And we pulled up down to Columbia. You ever been to Columbia, South Carolina, summertime? That's the hottest place. I want to tell you, you've been there. I mean, it's hot. You can sweat without trying down there. I mean, it's hot. And my wife said, I got to run in the store here. Now, and y'all forgive me. I don't know why in the world I had this, because I don't carry songbooks in my car. You see, I don't go in. It's a singing evangelist and carry a songbook in my car. I know some come in. Well, I'm not expecting to sing and have a whole gang of songbooks. And you know they came and sing. But I had a Broadmoor hymnal. Why I had that backslidden thing in there, I'll never know. But I had a Broadmoor hymnal up on the dashboard. And I was sitting there and I was waiting on my wife. And boy, Lord, was wiggling. And I said, be still, be still, be still, be still. And he was wiggling. And about that time, I had both windows up in the front, rolled down. And a bumblebee said, boom, and hit that window and said, and he reached over and said, I want to get him. I said, get him. Amen. You listen to me next time. I said, bless God. You grab that thing, you listen to me. And boy, that thing is going, and he'd go back up. He'd say, and he'd miss it. And I thought, Doc, hurry up. Hurry up. You're going to have a young one's going to get stung sure as a world in a minute. And that old beak went, and finally that bee looked there on the deck. And I said, hold it, hold it. The core and the stinger was just about out. I said, I'll just take care of him. I said, I'm glad I found something this Broadmoor hymn was good for. Bee killing, hallelujah. I took that Broadmoor hymn, I said, wham! And I hit him, I glanced him, and knocked his core and his stinger out. And you know what I did? I caught that bee. He still had them little things. He still sounded better. I caught him by the legs, and he... And my boy said, I want him! I want him! I said, let me tell you something. I said, your daddy got his stinger out. You can have him, you won't buy. And the boy, he put him in his hand like that. He wasn't long. He said, it's gone. You say, well, what's good about that? 1900 years ago, I'm glad Jesus got up out of that tomb, reached over and got death around the neck. Glory to God, squeezed him a couple of times. Said, Mays, he still looks bad and sounds bad, but I got his stinger. Yes, I got his stinger, and he can't sting anymore. I'm glad. But you say, Brother Mays, what will I do in the swelling of the Jordan? I want to show you something. Now, y'all have never met you. I went to see this man's widow. My daddy had all his books, and you know, I loaned him to preachers. And I don't know what happened to him. They got rid of him. Carl Lackey got some of them. Boy, they're great books. Great books. But I went to see his widow. I knocked on the door. She came to the door and she said, "How do you do?" I said, "Ma'am, I'm on the radio here in this town." And she said, "You wouldn't have to be Brother Mays, would you?" And I said, "Yes, I'm Brother Mays." And when I said, "Brother Mays," she said, "Lord," said, "I'd have given anything in the world if my husband could have known you." I said, "Lady, if I could have known your husband, I'd have shined his shoes." Her husband's name was Cyclone Mack, Baxter McLendon, from Bennettsville. And that's where I went to see his widow when I was down there once on that station. And I said, I got his books. And she said, "Brother Mays, come in. I want to show you something." That old widow lady took me inside and got the scrapbook down. She turned over and said, "Look here. Louisville, Kentucky, 17,000 a night. Hear Mac preach." She said, "Look, Brother Mays," she'd turn it. She's so glad. She said, "That's a memory. I was in Dallas, Texas with him. 11,000 a night. Heard Mac preach." Boy, she's so glad. She's turning the pages. Then she looked at me. She said, "You know something, Brother Mays?" Said, "Mac always talked about dying. Dying!" I said, "Yes. He wrote in one of his books, The Dialogue of Death. Have you ever read that dialogue?" I said, "Yes, ma'am. I've read it." She said, "Let me give it to you. I used to hear old Mac give it in his meetings." Said, "A man went home one night. He's a shaking and a trembling. And he said, 'I got plenty of time, Lord. I'm going to have a big time, Lord.' And said, a knock came to the door. And he said, 'Who is it?' He said, 'My name's Death.' He said, 'I can't let you in. I'm not ready to die.' And said, he came through the door without opening it. He said, 'Sir, I was there when you took your first step. I was there when you went to school your first day. My name's Death.' And the man said, 'Get those cold fingers back from my throat. And don't blow that icy breath toward me.' He said, 'Yes, but I'm Death. I've come to get you. It's your appointed time.' And Max said that Death backed that man up in the corner. And that man said, 'Wait a minute! Wait a minute. I feel the cool waters of the Jordan coming up on my feet. And I'm not ready to die. My God, I've had time to live and time to drink and time to cuss and time to buy and time to sell. But,' he said, 'Oh, God, Death has come. And I don't have time to get right with God.' And Mac Linden said, Death reached out with those icy fingers and took that man by the throat and squeezed him. And the man fell. And his wife ran in the room later and said, 'He had a heart attack.' Max said, 'No.' Said, 'That man called Death has always followed him. Just like that man called Death has followed you and me.' And said, 'When he comes, what will you do in the swelling of the Jordan? What will you do when the icy fingers of Death come on your throat? What will you do?' Ever head bowed, by a close. Thank you for listening. The one big mistake that Belshazzar made was failing to consider. I gave you six things that he failed to consider. The one fatal mistake of Israel. Time and time again, God delivered Israel in the Old Testament. But you know what Israel would do every time? She'd fail to consider what God had done. She'd fail to consider her need of God. And then the enemy would come. And her sons would die. And her people would mourn under the lash of captivity. Time and time again. And old Haggai came along and he said, "Will you consider your ways?" Said, "God brought you out of Babylon. God brought you out of captivity. God brought you out of bondage. And you live as if God had never done anything." In verse 5, he said, "Consider your ways." And in verse 7, he said, "And consider your ways." And I showed you the classic example of a man in the Bible named Belshazzar who failed to consider his ways. Mister, you'd better do something tonight. Lady, you'd better do something tonight. Young boy and girl, you'd better do something. You say, "What, preacher?" Before you leave this house, you'd better consider your way. You better consider how you stand with God. Death, the swelling of the Jordan may be right at you. It may swell on you tonight. You may leave this world. The swelling of the Jordan. What would you do? Or what will thou do in the swelling of the Jordan? Now, while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want to ask you three questions real quickly. Then our brother's going to have us to stand after I pray, and we're going to sing. Brother Samuel, stand here in front of the communion table. I want you to do one thing before I ask you a question. Would you consider, how are you with God, and how do you stand with God tonight? Oh, consider that, beloved. Consider it! Because it'll be too late when the Jordan begins to swell. Consider how you stand with God. Swell of the Jordan. Number one, how many tonight say, preacher, I know if God calls me out, the line is clear. Brother Mays, if God calls me out, there's nothing between my soul and my Savior. I'm saved. There's not one thing, preacher, in my life that I know that would disturb me about dying tonight. Brother Mays, I'm like Paul in 2 Timothy 4. I'm now ready to be offered. I mean, I'm now ready. I don't have to get ready. I'm ready. Slip up your hand. Let me see it high all over the house. Would you lift up your hand high? All right. Thank you. Now you can take your hands down. Thank you tonight. God bless you. Number two. How many of you say, preacher, I'm a Christian. I know I've had an encounter with Jesus. I've been saved. Preacher, I know that I'm born again. But Brother Mays, I don't know tonight that I'm in fellowship with God like I was at one time. Preacher, there's been things crept in my life that's robbed me of the victory and the joy that I used to have as a Christian. And I want you to pray for me, Brother Mays. I want you and Brother Sammy to pray for me. Hold up your hand. Let me see it, Christian. I want to pray for you. Lift up your hand high, Christian. Let me see it. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. That's right. Five. Here's another. Brother Mays, I want you to pray for me tonight. Whoa! God's speaking to me. I know I've been saved, but preacher, things in my life are what they ought to be for God. You better consider that tonight. Because listen to me. You may leave here and God may take His toll on you. The toll may ring tonight. The bells may sound. God may say, this is it. Listen, is there another? One more question, then I'm going to pray we're going to stand. How many tonight say, preacher, I've considered my way, and I know I'm lost on my way to hell. And if I were to die tonight, I'd go to hell, preacher. I know, preacher, I'm lost. I want you to pray for me. Would you step up that hand? Let me pray for you, beloved. If you're not saved, if you're here tonight and you say, preacher, I don't know that I'm born again. I don't know that I'm ready to meet God. Would you step up that hand? Let me see it. I want to pray for you. Lift it up high. God bless you, son. I said, it's another. Step it up high. Let me see it tonight. Quickly. All the way back. All the way back. All the way back. While I wait for just a few seconds. Anyone else? Anyone else? Death's on your... Yes. God bless you here. That's two. Is another. Brother Mays, I don't know that I'm ready. I don't know that I'm born again. Step up that hand. Let me see it. We're waiting just a few more seconds. Two have lifted their hands. Five lifted their hands. Christians said, preacher, everything's not what it ought to be. That's seven people. There's some more here lost tonight. I tell you, it's dangerous business to sit where you're sitting and to have your head bowed, know you're not right with God, not slip up that hand. You better consider tonight, you might slide in eternity. My Bible said in Deuteronomy, in due time their feet shall slide. God may let you slide on out in eternity. Here's another. Raise that hand and say, preacher, I'm not ready. I'm not saved. Pray for me. Our Father, tonight you saw these seven. You saw these two that said they knew they wasn't saved. Then, Lord, you saw the five that raised their hands and said, preacher, oh, I know that things are not what they ought to be in my life. Lord, I pray tonight that these seven people will come. The two will be saved. The five will get back in fellowship with God. Then, Lord, there's some more here tonight. They fail to consider. They're making that great mistake that this generation's making. Going on without considering. Going on without a second thought. Going on without stopping. And they haven't given a thought to it. So I pray tonight, Lord, when we stand, when we sing, every soul in this house that needs to do business, well, God will run down this aisle. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Look this way. Going to sing what, your brother?
Just as I am.
Number 81. Now, listen to me. I don't think anybody has to find that. Everybody in this house knows, just as I am, without one plea, O Lamb of God, I come. But if you do need, it's 81. And when we stand, I want every one of you to raise your hand. I want you to come right down here. We're going to pray with you. There's seven people in this house that raised a hand. I want you to come. When we stand, when we begin to sing, as the Spirit of God's moving on your soul, you better run to the refuge. You better come now. Let's everybody stand. Let's everybody sing. Come right on. Don't anybody wait. You there, raise your hand. Come right on. We're going to pray with you, all right? Come on. Just come right on. Yes. Just as I am. Come on. Amen. Let that time, Lord. Worship for me. And that? Yes, come right on. Come right on tonight. Come on, you lady. Come right on. We'll pray with you. Come on. Step right out tonight. Come on. All right, now, just a moment. We're going to sing this second stanza. There's some people here tonight, I'm sure. As certain as I know that God's on His throne, God's dealing with you tonight. My friend, you better consider God. You better consider your need. You better consider time's running out. You better consider the Holy Ghost is drawing you. You better consider today is the day of salvation. You better consider now is accepted time. I'd be afraid to leave here. I'd be afraid to go out of here if I wasn't ready to meet God. Let's sing. Let's sing that second stanza. Come right on. We're going to pray with you. Come on. Come on, you that raise your hand. Just come right on. Yes. Amen. Brother Mace, God's dealing with me. Come on. Come on. Come on. Yes. I tell you, get right with God. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Come on. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Come on. Come on. Yes, you can. Thank God that's what it's all about. All right, keep coming. Keep singing. Come right on. Come on. Listen, there's some more. Amen. Come on, there's six more. God's speaking to you. Come on. Well, welcome. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. Come on, God's speaking to you tonight. Amen. Amen. Yes. Amen. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Come on, young lady. Come on, young lady. Come right on, you that raise your hand. Come on. Come on. While we sing that next stanza, just keep coming. God's speaking tonight. I want you to come. Yes. Listen, there are four more tonight that God's dealing with. Come on. Come on. Yes, we'll pray with you. You say, preacher, God's dealing with me. Come on. Come on tonight. Come on, we'll pray with you right here. Step right out. You might not...